This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod!
And we're back. Welcome to What the Puck. This is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for tuning in, and as you have likely noticed by now, I'm not Brandon. He's out sick again, so it's a solo effort for me. It's as if Brandon is made out of broken pieces of glass and bubblegum. No, in all seriousness, get better, buddy, and stop being a baby. All right, let's get into talking about some Caps hockey. Since we talked last week, the boys went 3-1 with wins over Minnesota, Pittsburgh, and Toronto, all by scores of 3-2. They also lost to Chicago 3-2, which is kind of spooky. How is it that all of those scores ended up being the exact same, even though one of them was, unfortunately, a loss? But yeah, it's been a good week in Caps hockey. There's definitely some concerns, and we're going to go into that in a moment. But I think the fact of the matter is this team, who seems to find themselves down in the first period, and it's not just they're not playing well, but they're giving up goals in the first. They're still able to come back and get wins, which is definitely a good sign that they're able to pick themselves up. And we've talked about this on the show before, where in the past, when they were down by a couple of goals early in a game or in the second or even in the third, if they go down by a goal or two, they're like, you know what? Screw it. It's over. We're throwing in the towel. The world's coming to an end. I'm going to go home and we'll try again tomorrow. This is not that kind of team. This is a team that will continue to fight and claw their way forward to get a win as best they can. So this is definitely, there's definitely positives to take out of this past week, but the negatives are starting to become a concern as they're continuing to happen. Some of it can be attributed to the fact that the team had that, 8 days off due to the blizzard, and then they had, 5 days off after playing just one game because of the All-Star break, and so you lose your momentum, and you lose your concentration, you lose your focus. And now, normally they would have, most of the guys would have had those 5 days off, but that doesn't mean that they should be playing quite this terribly in the first period. It's consistently happening, and the players have come out and spoken about it. I can't remember in particular, but I believe Chimerick came out and, he's mentioned that or talked about the fact that they know that they're continually making these mistakes. And the question is, if you continue to make the same mistakes, how are you not changing them? I mean, what is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Are they doing the same thing over and over in the first period and expecting things are just going to get better? That's not reality. That's not how things work. You have to work at fixing the mistakes. And we know that this coaching staff led by Barry Trotz is very smart and very good at what they do. And you'd think they would have figured out these problems by now. And these aren't against good teams. Yes, the loss to Chicago. Chicago is a very good team, and they got themselves better at the trade deadline. We'll talk about that later. But Minnesota is a team that's struggling. Pittsburgh is a team they're playing better than they were earlier in the season. And Toronto is a team that is the worst, probably, in the National Hockey League. And yet, the Capitals continually will go down in the first period, looking ugly, and then they pick it up and they dominate almost the rest of the way. So it's an interesting situation. They're continually having the same problems, and you would like to see them pick it up. But the fact of the matter is, it's going to be up to the players. It's going to be up to the guys to make these things change. But if it continues to happen, you got to worry about in the playoffs where teams are going to start shutting down defensively when they go up by a goal or two. And are you going to have quite as much open ice? Are you going to have teams that are going to allow you to come back in these games? Because we've seen in the past how teams change how they play in the playoffs. If you go back and look at the series against Montreal, where if I remember correctly, the Caps were able to beat Montreal for the most part in the regular season and then, lost in the playoffs. Or we see teams that they go out and do well against in the regular season and then lose to in the playoffs. Because teams change the way they play. They play better defensively. They shut down and they sit back and to use a more of a soccer team, they park the bus in front of the goal and they make sure that you're not going to get easy goals, you're not going to get second chances and things like that. So I think they need to work on these poor starts to games. They need to work on the fact that they are letting these things happen. And it's an unacceptable way for a professional team that's currently the best team in the league. I mean, currently the Capitals have 98 points and it's the first week in March. That is ridiculous. I think I read on Twitter today or yesterday that they're on pace for 136 points, which is ridiculous. That is a ridiculous number considering where they were projected at the beginning of the season and where we really thought they were going to be. I mean, we thought it was going to be a fight to potentially make the playoffs or to win the division, but currently they are just running away with this thing. They lead the league in goals against. They have 208 goals for and only 146 against, so it's amazing. They have a current record of 47-12-4. Phenomenal. I mean, it's amazing. There's only so many things that you can say about this team, about how well they're playing. They're currently on a 7-3 streak over their last 10 games. I mean, they're 18 points up on the Rangers with the same amount of games played. That's ridiculous. With 19 games to go. No, they haven't clinched the division yet. They haven't clinched the playoffs just yet, but it's got to be coming up soon. And that's going to be an amazing thing to happen. But then it also makes me wonder, is there a detriment to that? Is there a bad thing? Is it bad to clinch the playoffs this early? Do you start to sit back? Do you take your foot off the gas? And then you just think you're going to be able to pick it up when the playoffs start? I don't know. I mean, we've seen this team do that before, where they coast into the playoffs in the Boudreaux years, and then we've seen them fight their way into the playoffs, neither of which have ended with them getting past the second round. So it'll be interesting to see what this coaching staff is able to do in terms of when they clinch and keeping them focused and to finish the rest of the regular season. Let's go into a little bit of player news and see how guys are doing there. Currently leading the team in points is Yevgeny Kuznetsov with 66 points. It's amazing to talk about this kid and how well he's been playing. And just to know that just a few short years ago, people were, you know, demanding, or not maybe not demanding, that might be a little bit of a strong word, but people were wanting him to be traded or his rights to be traded because they figured he wasn't coming over. They were, no, this kid's not going to come here. He doesn't want to come play in the NHL, a typical Russian, that kind of nonsense. And yet here he is, leading the team in points. He's a plus 30. He's got 20 goals and 46 assists. And he's only in his second full season. Third technically in the league, but a second full season in the NHL. It's ridiculous. It's amazing how well this kid is playing. And thank you to my buddy Adam for getting me a jersey t-shirt of his from Kettler. Now I have something to rep Kuznetsov. So that's nice to see there. Backstrom is second on the team in points with 60. He's got 17 goals, 43 assists. And Ovechkin, the leader of the team, the captain, and the guy that we talk about as a potential Hart nominee, is third on the team in points. He's got 41 goals, 18 assists for 59 points, and he's a plus 24. He's got 16 power play goals. I kind of expected more goals from Oshie. He's only got 18. I really thought we would have gotten more goals from him, especially being on a line with Ovechkin and Backstrom. It's not that he's playing poorly. We see how good he is with the puck. We see how good he is passing. He's just not scoring goals. And it's interesting to see. And maybe it's just his first season. We've seen guys that have struggled to play and trust the system, but I don't think that's the case. For some reason, he doesn't have the luck of getting the puck in the back of the net. So it's been a little interesting. In other player news, it was a tough week for, I'm sure, the Caps players, for some of them, and for a lot of the Caps fans out there, as news broke, was it Sunday night, that news broke that the team had sent longtime Capital Brooks Like, as well as defensive prospect Connor Carrick and a second-round pick in 2016 to Toronto for Daniel Winnick and a fifth-round pick. Now, while Winnick is good on the PK, and he's going to be a solid fourth-line contributor, I like the fact that they picked this guy up. It's tough to see a guy like Brooks Like leave. Losing a prospect like Carrick for a guy who's your fourth-line player, I mean, it's not a great thing, but you really don't need to bring in anyone for the top six. So moving a guy out like Carrick, you expect to get more, but you don't really have a spot for anybody. You're not bumping back Burakovsky. McClellan came out and talked about that, how he wasn't going to do it. So I guess, you know, when you got to make a move and the other team's rebuilding and they want a prospect and you want to bring in a guy who's going to be a solid fourth line player, potentially you could bump up to the third line in a pinch. You got to give up to get something, and it was, in the end, it's a good move for the Caps. And a lot of this, I think, was a move to free up cap space for next season, while also getting a decent contributor in Winnick back at a much cheaper cap hit. I mean, Winnick's contract, which is through next season, which I found interesting. So unless they trade him in the offseason, he'll be back. His cap is only $2.25 million as opposed to Brooks Like's, who is $4.5 million. So they are definitely freeing up some cap space to go into the offseason where they're going to need to re-sign guys like Yevgeny Kuznetsov, Marcus Johansson, Jason Chimera potentially, as well as some others. So it was definitely tough. It was definitely tough to see Light go. Brandon and I have been talking about it for a while now. We knew it was inevitable, considering his cap hit. I mean, if his cap hit was half of what it was, I think he's still on this team. But the fact of the matter is, it was way too high, way too much money. And to be able to make some of the moves in the offseason and give this team the cap flexibility that they wanted, you have to move on from him. And I know it was tough. He clearly did not want to go. And in interviews, you could see that he was emotional about it. He said his heart was in D.C. I think it's still here. I think the way he left with the message he sent, I was after a couple of days, and it makes complete and perfect sense to me that it took him a couple of days. I'm sure it was a very tough thing for him. I mean, think about it. He'd only played one game in the NHL, not in a Capitals sweater, before his first game with Toronto. He played one game for Ottawa before he was traded to the Caps for Peter Bondra during that fire sale in, what was that, 2004? 12 years, something like that. So it's definitely tough to see a guy like him go. I know they've had a lot of Capitals that sort of grew up around here and grew up with some of the fans like Alexander Semin and Mike Green have left. And you have guys like Matt Bradley that leave and Matt Hendricks and guys that the fans really, really latch onto. But to see a guy like Light leave, a guy who clearly was a good person, both, well, I mean, it's tough to say anybody's a good person on the ice when you're hitting other people with your body or your stick or a puck. It's sort of tough to say, but you could see he was a good person off the ice. I mean, they lost that tough game 7 to the Penguins, and he goes and pulls over to change somebody's tire in the story that everybody talks about. So to see a guy like that not be on the team anymore is tough, but I'm calling it now, and I called it before, about Eric Fehr, but I would not be surprised to see him get the same treatment and to be re-signed by the Caps once his contract is up. After next season, when a couple of guys' contracts are off the books, I would not be surprised to see this team go out and re-sign Brooks Like to a deal, much cheaper deal, much more cap-friendly deal for a third or fourth line role. Maybe he replaces Jason Chimera on the third line or potentially goes into the fourth line for a cheaper deal. But I would not be at all surprised to see what happens there. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Toronto signs him to a new long-term deal, which is certainly possible. They have the right to do that. They have him for the next season and 19 games because they're not making the playoffs. But I would not be at all. I mean, the same thing happened with Fehr. Fehr was traded to Winnipeg for, what was his name, Danik Paquette or something like that, and a draft pick. And that was a complete salary dump move. And then he played for Winnipeg. He played for Winnipeg for another season. He finished the one season. He played for two seasons, something like that. And then the Caps re-signed him. It was a guy that they wanted back. They liked him. They signed him to a cap-friendly deal. He's unfortunately in Pittsburgh now, and you know it's unfortunate for him, but you know, somebody had to sign him, I guess. But I would not be at all surprised to see Brooks Like come back. He's one of those guys that if you're going to Kettler, if you're going to Verizon Center, if you're going to work or hang out with friends, you can still wear his jersey. You can still wear his T-shirt. I wore the T-shirt on Wednesday. I didn't go to the game. I wish I was at the game against the Maple Leafs to be able to see him. It was definitely weird to see like in a blue Maple Leaf sweater. That was definitely weird to see. But he's one of those guys like a Matt Bradley, like a Matt Hendricks, that you can still wear. Yeah, I think even like a Mike Green, that you can still wear a T-shirt or their jersey, and you're not going to get heckled. Alex Semin, little different. You know, there's sort of always questions about his how much he really cared about playing in the NHL and how much he really cared about winning a cup and pushing himself for the betterment of the team. But I think these are guys like Bradley, those kind of guys that you can still wear their jersey, still wear their T-shirt, and people it's going to make complete sense. It's one of those guys that he's, you know, he's sort of a capital for life kind of thing that when the day comes that he's hanging up his hockey skates, so to speak, potentially the same way Marshawn Lynch did, which is put out a tweet of someone's skates or cleats on a hook. If no one saw that was actually pretty clever. He's one of those guys you could definitely see coming back to the team in future alumni things in the future. So best of luck to Brooks Like in Toronto. Unfortunately, the weather is not quite as nice as it is down here, though who knows with the way the weather is down here. It's supposed to be snowing tonight and then in the 60s on Monday, so that makes sense. In some other Caps news, they made a quieter trade, sending Chris Brown to the Rangers for Ryan Bourque, the brother of Chris, who is currently in Hershey. It's a depth move. It's a good move. McClellan talked about wanting to bring a guy in that he could bring up and send down without having to worry about waivers, potentially help this team as they move towards the playoffs and potentially in the playoffs. So I like it. I don't think they miss much on losing Brown. He was part of that move to send Erat to Arizona. We know how the whole Erad thing turned out. Thank you, George McPhee. But I like this move. And, you know, you get the brothers get to play together. That's always nice. I think Ryan Bourque was – it's a good deal. Hershey's had a couple of interesting moves lately for them in losing Connor Carrick, who I believe was their leading scoring defenseman. They lost Scott Gomez. We'll talk about that when we go down the farm. And they've lost Chris Brown, but now they got Ryan Bourque coming in, so we'll see how things – but I think, you know, Hershey's still doing well. We'll talk about them in a moment. In other Caps news, 7 players were selected to the initial rosters for their countries in the World Cup of Hockey. For Team USA, we have John Carlson and TJ Oshie. Team Canada selected Braden Holtby. Team Russia, to no surprise, selected Alex Ovechkin as well as Yevgeny Kuznetsov and Dmitry Orlov. And Sweden is bringing along Nicholas Backstrom. Now, in addition to the 7 players, Coach Trotz will be the assistant coach for Team Canada. So congratulations to those guys. It'll be a lot of fun. Just don't get hurt before next season, please. That is the worst thing about the Olympics and any other tournaments, whether it's the World Cup or whatever tournaments that they do. Just don't get hurt, please. I mean, if you look at it, going back to Brooks Lake again, you can see exactly where his career sort of took a downward turn is when he got hurt during the lockout playing overseas. And he has not been the same player since. And if had he not been injured, I almost can guarantee you that he would still be on the roster today, potentially in that role that Justin Williams is playing right now. So it'll be just no one get hurt, please. No one get hurt at the World Cup of Hockey. Just don't do it. Okay? I'm asking you nicely. Don't make me say it mean. Don't get injured. Nobody. If you play for another team, I don't care. Get injured. Caps guys, stay healthy. All right? So that's pretty much it for Caps stuff this week. Team's playing well. They're still rolling. They, like I said, they got an 18-point lead on the second-place Rangers. So as long as they keep playing, keep going with weeks where you've got more wins than losses, and you will be just fine. So if that's it for Caps news, we're going to have a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and then we're going to go down on the farm.
What the fuck?
What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, we are down on the farm talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. In the past week, Hershey went 2-0 with wins over Toronto and Utica. Looks like the Bears and the Caps both beaten up on Toronto. Suck it, Canada. The Bears are currently 32-15-10, good for 74 points, which puts them first in the Atlantic Division, both point-wise and win percentage. Suck it, weird AHL standings website from last week. If you didn't listen last week, that doesn't make any sense, but go back, listen, and then you'll understand the joke that I just made. The Bears will be back at it on Friday in Binghamton, Saturday at the Giant Center against the Baby Pens, and Sunday on the road in Wilkes-Barre Scranton. In other Bears news, forward Scott Gomez elected to terminate his contract and then signed a 1-year deal with the Ottawa Senators. Good for him, but bad for the Bears, unfortunately. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-1 with wins over Florida and a loss to Florida. So all they did last week was play Florida 3 times. I mean, the ECHL scheduling is like the AHL website. It's weird. Stingrays are currently 32-18-6, good for 70 points, putting them 2 points back of first place Florida. So they are second in the South Division. They are catching up. They're going to take first place, and then they'll go on and win the Kelly Cup. Or not. I have no idea. It's only March. South Carolina will be back at it on Friday in Atlanta and Saturday at home against Adirondack, who I think have changed their name for like the 95th time in the past 3 seasons. They need to make up their freaking minds. In other Stingrays news, rookie forward Brett Cameron was named the CCM ECHL Rookie of the Month for February. Cameron scored 8 goals and 8 assists in 13 games, helping the Stingrays to a 10-2-1 record. Congrats to him. That's what's going on down on the farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, let's go around the NHL. Let's start in Nashville, where Mike Fisher will be playing in his 1,000th NHL game against New Jersey. So congratulations to him. also for his really hot wife. Speaking of New Jersey, New Devils forward Devontae Smith-Pelly was fined $2,000 for diving / embellishment. Now, it should be noted that both infractions were while playing for his former team, so it's not playing the Devils necessarily. All right, let's get into what everyone really wants to talk about, the trade deadline, which was this past Monday. And just like past seasons, a lot of the bigger trades happened in the days leading up to the deadline, which made for a rather boring deadline day. Let's review a few of the bigger trades that went down, because there are a lot of really boring ones, and I don't care about those. But let's start in Chicago, who had already acquired Andrew Ladd while we were talking last week. They also brought in Christian Ehrhoff from L.A. for Rob Scuderi, who I believe had gotten traded from Pittsburgh earlier this season. Scuderi is going all over the place. And Chicago also brought in Tomas Fleischmann and Dale Weiss from Montreal for Philip Danault and a second-round pick in 2018. Carolina made potentially the biggest move at the deadline, sending captain Eric Staal to the Rangers for Alexi Sorella and a second-round pick in 2016 and 2017. Eric Staal getting to play with little brother Mark. Carolina also sent Christopher Stieg to L.A. for Valentin Zykov and a conditional fifth-round pick. Florida is making a serious push for the playoffs and acquiring Yuri Hudler from Calgary for a second-round pick in 2016 and a fourth in 2018. They also brought in Teddy Purcell from Edmonton, talk about a change in weather, for a third in 2016, and Jakob Kindle from Detroit for a sixth in 2016. Buffalo had a little fire sale, I should say, of their own. Aside from sending Weber to the Caps, they also sent forward Jamie McGinn to Anaheim for a conditional third-round pick that can become a second-round pick in 2017 should the Ducks win two playoff rounds. And should McGinn play in half of the games or some other ridiculous sort of details at the end of that trade. New Jersey sent Lee Stepniak to Boston for a second-round pick in 2017 and a fourth in 2016. The Devils also sent Stefan Matteau to Montreal for the prior-mentioned $2,000 lighter Smith-Pelly. Eric Gelinas to Colorado for a third-round pick in 2017. Carolina sent Jean-Michel Lyles to Boston for Anthony Kamara, a third in 2016 and a fifth in 2017. Minnesota sent longtime goalie Nicholas Backstrom and a sixth-round pick in 2016 to Calgary for forward David Jones. Calgary sent Chris Russell to Dallas for, I am not even going to try and pronounce this guy's name because I know I'm going to get it correctly. There's like three Ks, a whole bunch of As. Jyrki Kokkopäki, Brett Pollock, and a conditional second in 2016. I apologize if I pronounced that guy's name wrong, but I wasn't going to pull that off. There's no way. Arizona sent Michael Boddicker to Colorado for Alex Tanguay, who I didn't realize was still playing in the NHL, Connor Bleakley, and Kyle Wood. And finally, Toronto sent James Reimer and Jeremy Morin to San Jose for Alex Stalock, Ben Smith, and a conditional fourth in 2018. I always find the years that draft picks are sent in, how they randomly choose those years, I always find incredibly entertaining. The next upcoming draft, 2016, 2017, the following year, I get it. But 2018? What? All right, whatever. I don't know. That's the news for the past week in the NHL. I know someone wanted us to go into the World Cup of Hockey stuff more, but I'm going to wait until our next show, as I know Brandon wants to talk about that, and I would not want to do it without him. But we did have the jerseys unveiled, as well as the teams. The Team Europe, Team North America thing I still think is weird, but they all released their jerseys, and quickly, USA 1 still sucked. They haven't had a go on since 1980s, I was talking about, with Alexandria on Twitter the other night. Brandon and I were talking with her about the World Cup of Hockey stuff. There are some fugly-looking jerseys on there. They're not pretty. Sweden, always the best. They always make very nice, streamlined stuff. If you notice, and this is going to go into the NHL next season, Adidas, who is going to be doing the jerseys now, and they've done the ones for the World Cup, the piping along the sides is the same they're doing with the soccer jerseys now. You'll notice that in the MLS with Chelsea and with other teams that are Adidas is making their jerseys. They used to have the three stripes, Adidas' favorite thing, the three stripes, on the shoulders and the sleeves. Now they're going down the sides of the body. So that's interesting. And they have them in all of the jerseys. And I question as to whether they're going to try and do that with all of the NHL jerseys next season. Knowing Bettman, he'll let that happen. And knowing Montreal fans and Toronto fans, they're going to flip their you-know-what. This is, it's not going to end well. I'm telling you now. Let's review the next week in Caps hockey before we wrap this thing up. Friday, March 4th, it's Caps versus Rangers at 7 p.m. on CSN+. Saturday, March 5th, it's Caps in Boston at 7 p.m. on CSN. I can't help it. I always have to do the accent. Monday, March 7th, it's Caps in Anaheim to take on the Ducks at 10 p.m. on CSN. And Wednesday, March 9th, the Caps will be in L.A. with that game being at 10:30 p.m. on CSN. So that's it. That's the end of the show. I thank you for listening. Hopefully it wasn't quite as painful to listen to as it was for me to only hear myself talk. Surprisingly, that's not what I like to do. If you want to read more about the show and listen to old episodes and know where to find new ones, check out whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. You can also go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/WTP podcast, as Brandon likes to say, two P's in that title. You can also follow the show on Twitter at WTP_podcast. You can find me ranting about the Caps, Arsenal Football Club, and a whole lot of other sports news at WTP Coach and on Twitter. And you can find Brandon on Twitter at BrandoCast. So that's it. That's the show. It's over. Go home. Go. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.